First John chapter 3, last week we looked at part of this scenario in the compassion way, and we'll read it. We'll have another short, brief word of prayer, and then we'll look at two more aspects here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight as we look at a portion of your word. God, I pray for your Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, I think in these scriptures we can find help that we can apply to many areas of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of y'all read on the back of your shampoo bottle, but it used to say, wash, what?
Repeat.
Wash, rinse, repeat. So tonight, this lesson is something that you can use over and over again. We talked about compassion. It says there in verse 17, the bowels of compassion. And this is a scenario. We see a need. Someone has a need. Okay? And we established a few things. If we have the things of this world there, in the beginning of verse 17, and we seeth his brother have need, and we shut off our compassion, we don't help him. It says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Is John questioning salvation? I think for a wide range of people, it is a good question. How do I respond? How is my actions in things? But here's, in James 4:17, that says that he that knoweth to doeth good and doeth it not, it is sin. So we got to keep in mind that some things that are good that we don't do, if we don't do them, they're sin. We got to realize that. So here's the scenario. We see this happen, and it says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So if you see a need, and how are you going to process that? How are you going to go through that? You're going to wash. You're going to wash it through what? Well, we're going to use Jace to wash this through, and don't think of cleaning agent, but think of what agent are we going to use to work our way through this. We'll use the Word of God, and we're going to use what other agent that is supposed to be indwelling the believer? Norma, which one is it? It's the Holy Spirit, right? So we have two things that are available to us that will help us. Now, you have heard your pastor say on many occasions that not many Christians, and I think I even said it Sunday, really realize or understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's a perfect example. You see someone in need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion, and we're not saying right or wrong right now. We're just saying this is a scenario. And John asked the question, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Okay, I went through that. I didn't do anything. How did I know whether I was wrong? Well, I think he gives us the answer. Now, tonight we're going to talk about conviction. And that's the question. When we get done with this scenario, do we feel guilty? And you know what? You can call your pastor all day long. I don't know the answer. I wasn't there. I don't know. Somebody said, you know what? What does God want me to do for my life? What we got to do? Wash it through what? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And then there's one other thing that we need to do, and we're going to get to that towards the end of this lesson tonight. What's the last thing? Really, probably the first thing, but the last thing on our understanding. We have the Word of God. We shouldn't do anything in our life that goes contrary to the Word of God. And we should find things that we should do in the Word of God that we can apply in our life. And then secondly, what we have the Holy Spirit that gives us this what? This teaching. It teaches us right from wrong. It just tells us wrong from right. And then we pray. So there's our scenario. We have it. It says in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. So we have an opportunity here to do something. But if I don't do it, I shouldn't have peace if I'm saved. So I can answer the question that John puts, how dwelleth the love of God in them? Well, if they're not saved, and God gives them that opportunity, and they shut their bowels opportunity up, and they don't feel anything, obviously they're lost, right? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And why do I say that? Well, maybe they're cold-hearted towards God. Maybe their spiritual life is dormant. And I won't use the word dead, but we could use the word dead, but it's dormant. It's just, and like I say, I can apply that to my life. I was saved at 10 years old, but at age 18, there was very little spiritual activity going on in my life. It was dormant. Now, occasionally I would go to church, but again, church necessarily is not a spiritual activity unless you marry what? The Spirit and all those things together. In other words, how many of y'all see kids come to church all the time? They come in and see some of them sleep during church. And then they leave. And, you know, there's nothing. They get nothing. Nothing come of it or anything. I mean, that happens quite often, right? May happen to y'all adults. I'm not judging that, okay? But I'm just telling you, this is a scenario that we got to, if we're saved, somewhere in our life, we're going to understand that our heart is hard. Our heart is hardened to God. Now, Sunday, the message about Laodicea, does God like a lukewarm Christian? Just spit them out, right? That's a rejection. That's not good. So just being lukewarm just doesn't get it done with God. Now, is it always fiery hot? I don't know that it would be fiery hot, but there should be some activity. And for the young Christian, they're trying to learn. This is a good thing to understand. I think John is saying that the Holy Spirit brings about conviction. And we have to understand whether we get peace about it. Look what it says in verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and he shall assure our hearts before him. Now, he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit in this scenario directly, but how else are you going to get assurance with God? We can pray. And if you get an answer from God in prayer, is that the Holy Spirit given the answer? Kaylee? It's not a scary question. I mean, if you say, I don't know, that's the best. I have to answer that away a lot. We got the scenario. We've seen something. And after we maybe are past it, or we're, you know, we're trying to sort it out, and we feel guilty, and we're like, why was I guilty? And then all of a sudden God says, you know what? I wanted you to do something. I wanted you to do something. And, you know, I'm not going to use one of my tireless examples because I don't have that many, but just think about Brother Lee driving the van. You know, we used to have a bunch of kids riding on the van to kids club. We don't have that many, but you know what he still does? He still drives it. And if he didn't drive it, Miss Barb, would he be what? Happy? You can answer honestly if you want to. He wouldn't be happy, would he? I mean, he'd be happy maybe that he didn't have to do it, but because there's the opportunity, he wouldn't be happy because that. See, that's what I'm trying to say. Not every opportunity that comes up to us is going to be a pleasant, like, boy, got to see God work there, man. I mean, I tell people to call me at any hour of the night. And that call that comes at 2:30 in the morning is not always pleasant, Norma. But if something comes out of it, it is pleasant. And when I worked at the addiction program at Mount Hebron, we got those calls all the time. I mean, it's almost like once a week. And I was just like, whew. I was working at UPS at the time. So on Saturday and Sunday, that's when they were out doing their activities. And I would get that call. We have a collect phone call from the Boyle Detention Center for so-and-so and such. Will you accept the call? No. Or, Brother Rick, I was going to come to church Sunday, but I'm in jail. Can you come help me or something? I mean, it's just one of them kind of scenarios. And I'm like, no. And then most of the time, you know, I'd go, maybe I had to go somewhere. And, but there's the process. It's not always fun. But as we look through this, we have to search our hearts, because he says in verse 20, for our heart condemn us, for if our heart condemn us. Now, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of y'all have had an opportunity and failed to respond and you felt guilty about it later? All right. I'm waiting until everybody. Lola's the only one that ain't guilty. Got a feeling. That may be true, Miss Sherry. I tell you. Maybe. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. We got to search. There is an evaluation. And where does it begin? It begins in not our beating heart, but the heart of our emotions and our thoughts, and really that place where the Holy Spirit resides. Now, I'm asking you tonight. In the past, when you've had an opportunity to help somebody, and either you did it or did not, did you have help from God? And if you didn't, do you want that kind of help? Do you want to be able to have peace? That's what we're seeking, right, Miss Alice? We want peace in a situation. You know, that experience, and I said, well, I'm going to use none of my flint buffs, so I guess I always will, but, you know, working with the addiction program, I had guys coming up to me all the time wanting money, and I got to where I wouldn't give it to them. Why did I do that? I'd say, hey, I'll go buy you some groceries. I'll go put some gas in your vehicle. I got a job interview. Can you give me $20 for gas? Well, I did that one time. I found out the guy didn't have an interview, and he used the money not for gas. So from that point on, I said, I'll go put some gas in your vehicle. Well, man, I don't know. I can't get there right now. You know, they back up, and if they're really true, they do. So how did I do that? Buy the same deal. I washed, I rinsed, and I repeated until it's never a perfect deal. Because every situation is different. People are different. God puts different things in our lives. So if you're not going through the evaluation process, we're working on it here. There's a condemnation that it says here. It says if verse 20, For if our heart condemn us, in other words, your heart brings about some guilt, puts some blame. You know, you pray, Lord, I want to witness to somebody. And maybe you stick a track. Maybe there's a particular person you're praying for. Maybe something in that scenario is happening. And you say, okay, just give me the opportunity. And the opportunity comes up and you're like, and you don't do it. Your heart's going to bring about some guilt. It's going to bring about some blame. And hopefully you'll wash, rinse, repeat, and the next time you'll be cleaner. And like I said, I'm using that as a silly illustration, but that's the thing. It's always going to be that way in your Christian life. There's going to be the evaluation. There's going to be a seeking, hopefully, if you want to do what God asks you to do. In verse 22, it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. You say, Rick, you didn't finish verse 20. I'm just saying, through this scenario, we have the opportunity. We have the commandment that we're supposed to love. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, there's an opportunity, and the truth is we're supposed to do it. And the rest of verse 20 says, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. It's good to have a God that knows Rick Stump's heart and Bill White's. But I can't answer for Bill White in his prayer time, in his daily situation. I'm not there. And he probably wouldn't want me there all the time anyway. It would help maybe if I understood some of the things and maybe could pray for him. But it's not always necessary. My wife goes through things and, you know, we're in pretty close contact. But I can't help her in her decisions sometimes. I can pray for her. But she's not going to get that assurance. And what we're seeking in the end of this is confidence. I want confidence that I know did the right thing in the end. So when we get to this conclusion in verse 22, it says, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Again, John's not random. He keeps using the love one another, love your brother as kind of the bar to reach. And that's true. But he's not just being random. He's going very, very meticulously through all these different situations. And if you think about it, he's writing probably to the church at Ephesus. And there are probably some of them that are going through that situation. You know, he may have had some people coming up to him and say, hey, when I did this, I had an opportunity, but I didn't do it, and now I feel guilty. And he's like, well, that was God speaking to you. So how do I figure that out the next time? Pray. You got the scenario. You got the opportunity. You got the seeking. You hopefully have the conclusion at the end of confidence. But that's got to help us when we get to the next situation, the next time that happens. So we look at the commandment. It says in verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And then we'll just read the rest of it. It says, and love one another as he gave us commandment. In other words, back up in verse 17 where he says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you don't feel anything, you should feel guilty about whether you're saved or not. There should be a conviction about salvation. If any church, Bradley's Pleasure included, if more people stepped out by faith and started doing things, the other people are going to notice that. And that's going to say, you know, why doesn't that happen to me? Why do I not? And I'm not saying they're lost, because that's not true even 100% of the time or 0% of the time. I'm just saying, if you're not doing something and it has spiritual components to it, you're missing out. You're missing out. And how do we do that? Well, it's the same cycle over and over. He says, after you're saved, we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. And he's not done with that scenario. So that's going to be true. There are going to be some of your brothers and sisters that may not be so easy to love. Maybe your pastor. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on the situation that you go through. And he goes on to say, as he gave us commandments. So we can think about this. We have the example, right? Jesus did it. So we should follow it. But we most importantly have the commandment. So if you're looking for what should I do, what does the Word of God say I'm supposed to do? Now, let me qualify a little bit of this, because I always try to do this, and I'm thinking of people like Norma and Kaylee that may travel alone. Just because you see somebody hitchhiking on the side of the road and you feel compassion for that person doesn't always mean, even at all, you're supposed to pick them up or stop. But there are hopefully going to be times when other situations come up. And that would go for Miss Barbara, Miss Sherry, and it, you know, it doesn't matter. My wife. You just don't automatically stop. Now, sometimes I stop. But I try to always say, as soon as I see it, Lord, should I stop? And I know I'm not right all the time. And I have Brother Lee turned around and went back. And a couple of times I turned around and went back, and it was just somebody sitting off the side of the road talking on the phone. I'm like, well, somewhere I missed something. Look at chapter 4 real quick. Because it plays in up here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, I know he's beating the drum there for false teaching, but you can't believe everything. But you got to try. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about trying. What in Romans 10:17 it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Young people, if you're not reading the Bible, you're going to have a hard time relating faith to the Holy Spirit's leading. They're all ingredients. I make homemade spaghetti that's, I think, pretty good. It's got a unique taste. It's not the best ever, but I put different stuff in it. She makes it totally different. Totally different. What does that mean? We just make it different. She's trying to go off of the same, her father's recipe that I'm doing mine by, because he showed me how to make it, and I think mine's better than hers, by the way. But anyway, so in your Christian life, there are ingredients that you got to put into your Christian. Cole may have to read his Bible more than Kaylee, or vice versa, or prayer, vice versa, to get the confidence that we're seeking in this text right here. Because if you never get confidence, you never get the answer to, I did it right that time. It's going to be hard to repeat that. Remember the wash, rinse, repeat part. That's where the repeat, for me, that's why that come up, the repeat part. I want to be able to do what's pleasing to my Heavenly Father. And that's what it says up there, I think, in verse 21 or something, maybe 22. I want to do things that are pleasing to Him. But I also have to learn how to get it done. I got to learn how to put the ingredients in. I need to understand how to discern the opportunity that God wants me to respond to, because our emotions, you know, sometimes are all over the place. I want to help. So if somebody calls me tonight at 3:00 in the morning and say, hey, I would have called you earlier, but I don't have any water, and I'm just scared to death to get out in this thing. Tomorrow, would you bring me some water? I'd do it. But there would be other times when that may not work. You know, in 6 months, I don't know about the call at 3:00 in the morning, a case of bottled water or something. Or something, you know, medicine, whatever it may be. And we got, you know, Jace is the first responder, and Norma, you know, a nurse, you know, and different people. You know what that's like, you know, having that thing. So we need to understand that in verse 21, I got to go back there and read that. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So like I say, what we want to get at the end of this is confidence. Now, I've already kind of let the cat out of the bag here, but are we to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as much as we are the Bible? That's right. They are ingredients that are needed on both sides of this thing. Go to John 16 real quick. Not 1 John, but John 16. Just to remind ourselves of this. Verse 5. This is Jesus. He's really close to the cross here in chapter 16. Within days of the cross, he says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." It was imperative that Jesus finished his job and went to heaven. Now, you've heard me mention and read the verses in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes when we're praying and we have an intercessor in heaven. So we have help here on earth in our prayers. We have help in heaven. But Jesus says it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, he's not going to come. Verse 8, he says, "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And then he explains, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." There's the salvation side of it. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more." There's the part where the right and wrong is understood. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Do you think that if you have an opportunity and you fail and you learn from it, you say, "Okay, I had opportunity there. I recognize that God's saying, hey, you should have done something there. Be prepared the next time." Another situation comes up. Opportunity. It doesn't have to be somebody that has need, but it will be a need. And you fail to do that. Do you think that God could punish you? And do you think that he's going to send you a note about it in the mail and let you know what kind of punishment it is? In other words, you know, you're having a bad day. Maybe God's bringing a bad day. I have no idea. I have no way of knowing. You know, God punishes sin. God punishes people that don't obey him. And as for his children, he paddles us like a little kid. You know, if we're not willing to sit and listen to him, we don't want to go through the wash, rinse, repeat cycle and understand and grow. It's going to be like the little kid sitting in church. You know, he's going to have to say, "Now you sit there and sit still and listen." But they have to listen. They have to listen. And he goes on to say, "And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Verse 13 and 14. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." That sounds like chance to me, like when those situations come up, I'm going to show them to you. I'm going to let you know they're there. I'm going to try to teach you. Now back over in our text and we're done. We should be biblical, we should be Christ-like, and we should follow the Word of God. Again, it says in verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandment dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby, here we go, we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Now, I've got some Facebook friends that think I'm crazy, that were maybe friends of mine, or maybe they think I'm crazy, you know, now, because, you know, they're always kind of mentioning the church and the Jesus thing that doesn't make sense to them. But I have gotten to the point to where I have washed, rinsed, and repeated enough to where I know that Jesus Christ is real. I know the Holy Spirit is real, and I know that I still mess up and I still got to learn, but I still know that there's going to be another opportunity, maybe tonight, tomorrow, whenever it may come, and I need to be prepared as best I can. I won't know what it is that's coming, but I got to be prepared as best I can to follow the teaching of the Bible and to be led of the Holy Spirit to do what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You again for this day. I thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that this has been a help to all those that are here tonight. I pray, God, for the Holy Spirit in my life to guide. I pray for those that are here, Lord, that maybe haven't come to the point where they've got confidence that much. But, Lord, I pray as they practice these principles in their life that they would grow and mature. And Lord, for somebody here today that doesn't have that conviction, that they would first say, you know, am I saved for sure? Am I not saved for sure? I need to get that settled first. So Lord, we just pray that You'll use this. I pray that You'll be with us in the coming days through all the chaos that's going on in the world today. Pray that You'll be with our country, our leaders, in our state, and in our counties, in our nation. They need the Holy Spirit to lead them as well. And Lord, I pray that they're learning from mistakes, and I pray they're learning from when they do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.